You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 2. Sometimes you just need to throw your feet up and mail it in.
I don't expect a lot, man. Pretty much if the hut doesn't burn down, it's been a good day.
It's kind of what we do on Friday.
I was transferring the contents of the file into this flexible accordion-style folder.
I'm not working today, man. I got an earache.
This is Overdrive on TSN 1050.
Hour 2 Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app and now up on TSN 4. Brian Hayes, Dave Poulin, Jamie Noodles McLennan. We weren't up on the first hour on TSN 4 because of the World Hockey Championships, and I believe Ray is just calling like 5 games a day.
I know.
So I'm sure he's really excited for us to call him.
That is a Superman effort.
Yeah.
That's a big effort.
They put in work over there.
It's work, like just even calling the games, as you know, Pooley, and I know, but it's the names, like, you know, doing digging around, doing the research on guys that you're not familiar with. Like, I don't know. I recently called that TELUS Cup as Midget AAA. Yeah. I felt like I had to work harder just to prepare for that game than a regular NHL
and
game.
And by the way, most of the names were North American.
Yeah, exactly.
And you'll never need to know them again.
Yeah. Like, I mean, there'll be a few kids from that Midget AAA tournament, like the TELUS Cup, like, they'll play in the NHL for sure. But like over here, the World Championships, half the guys are from their club teams. We'll never hear from them. They'll be on Hockey DB.
No,
we'll
the Leafs will sign them.
Well, the Leafs will sign them to a one-year gems.
Deal.
Yeah, absolutely.
A one-year entry level. Get them in camp, and let's see what we have.
Yeah.
That's the move.
So I was doing a game in the CHL, and there was one Canadian player on the team.
Yeah.
So, and it was Nolan Jonkman. I'm like, Nolan Jonkman's getting a lot of airtime today.
Yeah.
So I look at his hometown. I had no idea how to pronounce it. I called Dregs. I go, I've never heard of this town. It's in Saskatchewan. Peachinich, Saskatchewan.
Yeah, I didn't know that one.
Just dance around
said
it.
One name.
Dance
it was
around
a,
it.
A nightmare.
It is tough. So Ray will be very crusty. Like,
yeah.
He's not going to be happy.
And it takes a while. Once you've seen the teams once or twice, you got a chance, right?
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
First time through for him today?
Yeah.
Yuck.
Well, we actually had someone send us an email last week, I think, or maybe earlier this week. And his son was playing in that TELUS Cup that you were calling Noodles.
Oh, yeah?
And he wrote us, I'd have to go back and find the email, but it was a pretty funny email. Basically, we're talking about Game of Thrones in the previous hour.
Yeah.
And about how all these, I believe, the NBA schedule makers are trying to avoid the Game of Thrones because on Sunday, if it gets to a Game 7, Golden State, Houston, that's going to do monster numbers.
Right.
Generally, that would be prime time. But
right.
I believe it's going to be a 3:30 tip off
noon out
which
there.
It 12:30 in San Fran. 12:30 in the Bay Area.
Wow.
What would that be? 2:30 in Houston. Like, that's early for a game 7 featuring these two teams. And I absolutely believe it's about Game of Thrones. And the TELUS Cup, that was Sunday night, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Did it go to overtime?
Double overtime.
Double overtime. Okay, yeah. So this guy wrote an email about how his kid was on the winning team. I don't even know which team it
Toronto
was.
Toronto Nats.
Okay, it was a young Nats.
Yeah.
And he was on the ice for the winning goal, and he gets off the ice, and I guess he calls his girlfriend back in Toronto and goes, did you see me out there? Did you see me on TSN? She goes, yeah, I saw you until Game of Thrones came on.
How'd the game turn out?
Did you win?
Oh, my God.
Like, even the boyfriend playing on TV.
National TV.
National TV on TSN.
With Jamie McLennan calling the game.
With Noodles calling the game. And the girlfriend back in Toronto said, sorry, it's Game of Thrones.
As soon as
I'm
it hit
9
o'clock, I was out.
I'm out of here. I hope
that's
you won.
That's really funny.
Like, that is a shoot deployment.
Yeah, that's...
Like, Raptors fans might face it on Sunday night. I'll be committed. This is where PBR comes in.
What time
is
the Raps tilt?
7 p.m.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's leaking into 9 p.m. plus.
You go into any type of overtime? Usually the games are about 2.5?
A little bit. Yeah, around there. 2.5.
The problem is with the Game of Thrones, you can't PVR it for 15 minutes or 20 minutes and even think about looking at your phone at any point.
No, Twitter, like I picked up on that because this is the first season I've ever seen any of the episodes live.
Yeah.
I only got into it about a year ago, a year and a half ago. So
you're right up to speed.
I'm up to speed. I've seen everything in the first
this summer.
Wow. 4 episodes.
But you're right. You can't tune into Twitter because people are
reacting
live.
About it.
Oh, my God, I can't.
People are live tweeting the episode. So if someone, you know, some big character dies or something, and you're watching the Raptors,
yeah,
or the TELUS Cup,
or the TELUS Cup for that matter, then
well, the TELUS Cup, I didn't check the ratings, but I think it was quite high.
I would hope so. That's the future of hockey.
It was the young Nats won. And the goaltender was fantastic. Like this kid stood on his head. You could see at that level too at midget
hockey.
Do you
remember the goalie's name?
No, I'm just drawing a blank on it. I'm actually going to go back to my notes. But
they're good players, though. It's good
very
hockey.
Very good players. And I actually sent Dregs a note because Dregs was watching it. I don't know where Dregs was at the time, but he
That'd
was
be
watching.
Like Mason's wheelhouse.
Yeah,
right?
So yeah. He said he was talking about that team. And the weird part about this, and I know I'm not going to take a shot at Hockey Canada, but the head coach was suspended for the game because the game previous, he got a match penalty. A puck went into the bench. He picked it up and threw it back on the ice, but he threw it in the direction of a player, and he got a gross misconduct, so he got thrown out of the game and suspended for the final. So the associate coach had to coach the game. I felt bad for him.
Wow. So the head coach of the Young Nats?
Yeah, Young Nats head coach was not allowed on the bench, and I don't even know if he was allowed in the building, but he showed up when they won. He was in the corner, and the guys were going over to the corner and jumping in the glass.
Wow.
And then when they got the cup, they opened the door, and they took the cup to him, and he was holding it, and then he handed it back.
The drama.
It was...
That's why you got to review match penalties. You have to be able to review match penalties.
I went and looked at the match penalty, and... You know, he did chuck it back. I don't think he was chucking it at a player, but it came and must have hit him in the leg or something. He picked it up and kind of just whipped it. And the refs assumed that was belligerent,
I think. You could build a Game of Thrones episode out of this incident.
Yeah. That sounds like a perfect ploy.
Doesn't it?
Sounds like something they would do.
It going in. That double overtime felt like St. Louis-Dallas because they were playing Felix Potvin's team. Felix Potvin's team is really good.
Where is he living now?
I got to.
Is he in Quebec?
Yeah, it's a Quebec team.
Yeah,
I'm drawing blanks on everything because it doesn't matter.
Well, because it's the type of game you do.
Magog.
You have to eliminate it from your mind. You got too much else going on.
Yeah, I got a lot. But Magog was Felix Potvin's team, and they were really good. Like the goaltender was fantastic. He dominated, and the Young Nats. It was a situational play.
So which team was? So St. Louis was. Felix Potvin's team?
Yes.
Okay, so they had all the chances, all the domination.
Ben Bishop was playing for the Nats, but found a way to get the win.
But they got a huge win, and it was a fantastic game-winning goal.
Well, we were talking about the top 25 that's up on TSN.ca, the top 25 free agents in the National Hockey League this summer, and the top three are Panarin, Carlson, and Bobrovsky, and three very different players, very different positions, have very different impacts on a game. And, Pooley, you mentioned that the teams that are remaining in the Cup playoffs, for the most part, are tandems.
Yes.
Now, even with that being the case, there's always been one guy that you knew was the number one. You knew Tuukka Rask was the number one. Martin Jones.
They kept his mileage low during the year.
Yes, yeah. But you knew when it was go time, it was going to be Rask. You're right. Correct. It's paid off well, but it was never actually 50-50.
No.
Like, it wasn't.
If Tuukka had a little bit of... He had some personal issues.
Yeah, he had a blip.
Yeah.
So, but Halak was fantastic, but you're right. When push came to shove, it was Tuukka.
Yes.
Tuukka's the guy.
And
it was going to be
Bishop
Mrazek.
In Dallas.
And it was going to be Bishop.
But that's what I was going to get to. See, with Mrazek and McElhinney, it felt closer to 50-50 for me.
It was.
And now you got a situation where McElhinney wins you the series in the previous round. Mrazek's back. I don't know if it was his fault that they lost last night. I don't think it was.
No.
But I think it comes up.
Are you taking a peek at... Do we come with
ask the goalie guy.
But that's what comes with the tandem is the point I'm making here. Where if you have a defined number one, okay, you lost, who cares, he's back.
Yeah.
Now you have to be overthinking it if you're in the coaching office.
I've always said this, and I'm not as schooled in the NFL, but if you have two number one quarterbacks, you have none. Because you're always, the game goes bad and you're looking at it going, why isn't that other guy our quarterback? It's the same thing in hockey. If you have a 50-50 split, there's always going to be allegiance to one guy or the other. And it may be different. The guys on the team may feel comfortable with goalie X, but the coach likes goalie Y. And I don't know if this is a prime example, but I look at Calgary, for example, the Flames. You could tell that the team played a little bit different with Riddick and net than they did with Smith. Now, Smith handled the puck differently, so the defensemen, I'm sure, were quite comfortable with Smith. But Riddick was fantastic on breakaways. So breakdowns, and he was a fiery goalie. I remember a game against the Oilers this year where he stopped like two breakaways and was yelling at the bench, and all of a sudden the team got going. Like, he was a fiery goaltender. So you can tell that there's certainly a different confidence level. And actually, I looked up the Young Nats, the roster. It was James Gray, and they played a platoon system because the kid, Sean Wu, had played the day before. So it's the same thing. It's confidence. And it wouldn't surprise me, though, if Rod Brind'Amour is looking at McElhinney and going, do I come back with him or do I go back with Mrazek for one more? And if it doesn't go well, then you go to McElhinney.
You're still going home the same way you went home after Washington, down two.
Right, down two.
Yeah.
I think Mrazek will start next game.
But, Jamie, one of the greatest tandems of all time, and people don't even realize this.
Moog and Fear. Yeah.
And Andy Moog, there were years when he played more regular season games than Grant Fear did.
Yeah.
But come playoff time, Grant Fear was a guy. And I played with Andy Moog and Reggie Lemelin.
Yeah.
It's a pretty good tandem.
It is. The Leafs, I don't believe, will be able to afford it in their cap structure, but that's what I keep kind of leaning for with Frederik Andersen. He can play 60 mm-hmm. in his sleep, but he may look a little better at 55 if you can get the quality minutes out of the backup. If you had a Hudobin, if you had a Halak, now Halak cost you 2.8 or 2.7, and Hudobin was 2.5. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of money for a backup, and especially if you're pressed up against the cap. But not
if your guy's rested come playoff time. It's not.
It's an investment.
And a goalie really doesn't, to me, a number one doesn't rest during the regular season if he's not playing, if he doesn't think his team has a chance to win. The backup's got to give his team a chance to win that night.
When there's a massive drop-off, and believe me, I was the drop-off. Luongo to McLennan, Kiprusoff to McLennan, you know, right down the line. Like, I could give you minutes, but I knew exactly where I was. Those premium backups nowadays where Halak, like, I don't think the guys in Boston were like, man, that's a big drop-off between Tuukka's play and Halak's play. Same thing with Bishop. Robin Lehner and Thomas Greiss, they split it down the middle. And Lehner's up for the Vezina.
Right. Well, you get two guys who were platoon types up for the Vezina.
Yeah, which I disagree Bishop, with personally.
Exactly. But, you know, it's kind of a sign of the times.
It is.
And where we're
going.
Some
of it's financial, too.
Yeah.
Well, and that's the problem with the Leafs. The Leafs are going to be in such a bind with all these high-end guys getting paid
that as
it's currently constructed. Now, they could move money around, and we'll find out in the next month and a half.
Right.
But as it's currently constructed, they simply don't have money for a backup goalie.
Right.
They don't.
Think about it, Brian. They're only paying their number one 5. Montreal's paying their number one 10.5.
Right.
You're right. And that's where it comes back to the formula. In a perfect world, if you're a manager, you're probably looking at about $8 million for your goaltenders, and that's either 7-1,
right,
or that's 5-3 or 5-2. Like, I know there's all different formulas within different teams, but for example, Nashville's very heavy right now on their forwards, their money that they're allotting.
Well, and that's where the Leafs are too. Well, they're going to be once Mitch Marner gets signed.
So that's why they're going to have to go cheap on the defense side. And then the goaltending is right now on paper going into next season is 5.75 for the Leafs, because that's Sparks at 750 and that's
Freddie at 5. Well, no, and that's the truth of the lack of flexibility that the Maple Leafs have right now and what they're dealing with, where even when you look at the RFA, the middling RFAs like Janssen and Kapanen, they probably are going to have to squeeze them and just keep pushing it along, kick the can down the road a year or two.
Bridges.
As opposed to, like, Jonas Siegel wrote an interesting piece, our boy Jonas, where it might, ideally, if you had a lot of room, you might, it's a bit of a gamble, all these contracts are, outside of the high-end guys where you really are committed to them. But let's say Janssen, if you could get him on a 6-year deal, but you got to give him 4 a year or 4.5. That probably would make sense if he keeps moving up and continues to play this well.
You say, on the 3 years in, it'll look real good.
It'll look outstanding in 3 years, but they don't have that luxury.
They can't afford 4.
They can't do it.
Yeah. Right.
They have to squeeze him at 3 or under, and they're probably going to have to squeeze Kapanen at 3 or under, which means...
Problem is Janssen has arb rights.
Yeah, but we had this conversation last week. I still don't think he's going to get...
Bobby
you know,
Mack
anywhere close to four or anything
yeah,
like
some,
that.
Some yeah, early threes yeah. or like
maybe around
2.75 to 3.325 was kind of
right
the
on a 1 year deal. And that makes sense to me. I know he had a good year. He's a good player, but it's right. 1 year and there
well,
were ups and downs.
Was the headline on Jonas is that I don't know if you saw O take a shot at him. The headline
no.
was like he's. I can't. I've got to go back on it, but
top
something about
best,
yeah, star
best
player, or
star,
something.
Something.
Like, all right, like you know, Alex Chiasson had 20 goals in Edmonton. Like you know, I know different players.
No, Johnsson is not a star. He's exactly. he's not anywhere close.
But he,
to
what
it.
He did, Jonas had
amongst
the numbers,
the best.
He had the numbers
to that
from November 24th to the end of the season.
Yeah.
But okay, but you played until November 24th. Why don't you mix those numbers in?
Right. Well, and this is the thing about statistics. They can you can mold them and shape
yes.
it any which way you want
right.
to make it look very positive or very negative.
Right.
I still think I believe that Johnsson's a good player. I think he's going to be a good pro for a number of years.
Right.
I think it would be a smart move in a perfect world to try to lock him in at a number where maybe it's a bit rich in year one or two, but you might get a real discount for
right.
the final three or four. But they just simply don't have that
right.
ability.
They,
so it's a moot point. They can't. I don't think they can do it.
Right. If they were Montreal that has cap space,
you can
and
do
they
that.
Like the player, they can go, hey, I, you know, I'm fine with him at four or
exactly.
and change.
Yeah. But you can't. You've got to squeeze.
Right
That's
now,
the position
that,
the Maple Leafs are in for the next couple of years.
Ultimately, you wanted Tavares, and he paid off. But that 11... kind of jammed you up.
It changed everything.
It changed everything, so
yeah.
they've had to nip and tuck a little bit. That's really what it comes down to. And Kyle's going to have to be creative, and they're still going to have to figure out the creativity with Patrick Marleau on your books next year at 6'2" And if you want him there, great.
He's in the driver's seat, though.
He is, and he controls that scenario. But if you can do something with that, it gives you flexibility. But what is your priority list? That's the one thing that I keep coming back to. I'm a little biased, but I would like to see somebody who can take games legitimately off Frederik Andersen. Because
mm-hmm.
I think that bodes well for the whole health of the group. And because you would get even more a healthier, rested Andersen when it's critical. Not that he was tired in Game 7, but that's two Game 7s in a row where he hasn't delivered.
Performed well.
Right?
Yeah. No, there's a huge gap between
Andersen and Sparks.
Andersen and Sparks.
Yeah.
Like, it's a massive gap. And I think what you're saying is, Pooley, even if Sparks is getting the start that night, if you're Anderson, you're almost tense.
You don't feel good about it.
Yeah, you're like, this isn't going to work.
It's not money in the bank.
Yeah, this isn't going to be good.
So
I can't really relax.
He feels like he should be playing.
Right.
If you're a starting goalie and you're sitting on the bench and you're watching your team look at you or look down at their goaltender, you feel like I should be out there. You just do.
Especially like if you start taking games off of Price, like, you know, Price is one of arguably the best on the planet, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And he's sitting on the bench because you got to load management. We've had this conversation with Kawhi. Like, Kawhi's waving to the guy and say, have a good flight.
Go
we'll
ahead.
See you.
I'm
watching
coming.
You on TV.
He's very fine
and
with that.
They're getting rinsed that night. They're like, man, we could use this guy.
Yeah.
But hopefully it pays off for Game 7.
That being said, going into Game 7, you think they feel pretty good looking down at number 2?
They better, because that's what
this is what you've invested in all
but he
year.
Hasn't been the problem.
No, he hasn't. But at the same time, the pressure's always going to be on the superstar in this sport.
Right.
So as much as Kawhi has been outstanding, and would you sign off on him just simply the averages from the whole series? Whatever he's been putting up across the board through six games, would you sign off on that exact night?
Yes, because it's
I wouldn't.
Been,
I think you have to
you
gamble.
Want more?
Because I think you need more. I think you might need more.
Than he's given on an average basis?
Absolutely.
I just want more
what
from
superstars?
Green. And like, I think if Kawhi gives you 30, what would be the average? 35?
Yeah, he's
probably
around
33?
There, 35. Yeah, he was at 38, but he's dipped a bit the past couple
let's
of
say
games.
35.
Yeah. Oh, that's an unbelievable night.
Siakam gives you 23.
Yeah. I
hear
you.
How about Kyle? How about Danny Green? Like, how about, you know, like.
Ideally, those guys do their job. And you're all good,
you're
but I don't know if I can trust them.
I agree.
The one guy I know I can trust is Kawhi Leonard. And I'm saying,
you need 44.
You might need it.
Right.
And I know that's a lot of pressure, but that's what comes with being a superstar in the NBA.
Right.
Like tonight, James Harden, I guarantee you in Houston, they're not saying, hey, just give us your average.
Right.
They might say, we need 45 out of you tonight.
Right.
Like, our back is up against the wall. We have to win.
Yeah, we need
to. So I don't think you can go into a big game and just say, give me exactly what I expect out of you.
Right.
Like, this is where the superstars rise.
The only place you probably can is Golden State. Because there's four superstars.
Well, Durant's not playing, though.
When healthy.
See, that's where I don't think that's the case anymore, Pooley. Because with Durant not going.
And Curry's been no good.
And Curry's been very up and down. I think Steph Curry, you got to be like, this is where I need those back-to-back MVP type nights.
Yeah.
There's no reason why you can't go off for 40. There's no reason why Klay Thompson can't go off for 30.
Right.
I think you need to roll the dice and bank on your superstars elevating their game. Because I think that should be expected. Like, in the biggest moments, every player should be expected to elevate even higher than where they've been.
Right. You know, it's this whole cycle. It's why does the best player get all the heat in the playoffs? And the misconception is it's because he makes the most money. Well, he makes the most money because he scores the most goals. That's why he makes the most money.
Right.
So at the time you need it most, you don't need the guy that makes the most money. You need the guy that scores the most goals.
Right.
Well, that's the same guy.
Yeah. that's what you're getting paid for.
That's why you're getting paid.
Exactly.
Wow, yeah. Cool.
And so elevating, to me, watching, that number two is capable of elevating to something that we haven't even seen.
Well, he has to go legend on game seven.
Yeah.
But Kawhi can't do it on his own. Like, it's going to have to be, like, we need somebody that not comes out of left field, but how about Siakam go legend that night? Yep. Or how about Kyle Lowry just has a night where you're like, okay, this is, like...
To me, that's the variable is Kyle Lowry. Like, he's got to be...
You need some
really
sort
good.
Of a buffer net. Like, that you need, like, it's not just one guy. We saw LeBron do it, but there were nights where Kevin Love was right there.
Yeah, Kyrie Irving was there.
It still is a team sport.
Right.
Like, it revolves around a superstar more than any other sport. I mean, in football, you need a great outing from your quarterback.
Right.
Like, and that's, you know, you look at Brady in the Super Bowl.
But he gets a catch from Edelman. He gets a catch from Gronk.
You do. You know? Yeah, you need help, but you got to make those plays.
But
yeah.
The greatest players in history, if you look at the greatest historical teams, the Michael Jordan, the Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, you can also name two or three other superstar, star-quality players in their team.
Well, and that's the truth, even if they get through on Sunday. Milwaukee, there haven't been any inconsistencies with Milwaukee. They haven't been a hot and cold team. All year they've been consistent, and they've just steamrolled ahead.
Yeah.
They don't take their foot off the gas. Yes, in game one they got blown out at home. It was bad, but they recovered immediately, and they beat
Paul
them
Pierce
four straight.
Paul Pierce is taking some heat for that. Is it? Like he?
Paul Pierce said the series was over
like
after one game.
And even people on the panel with him are like, it's one game. And he's like, no, they're done. Like, can't. You know, the depth of the Celtics are too. Like, I was watching that last night, like his panel, and even the Bucks like tweeted it at him, what his comments were. Like, that is trolling.
Big time. Because I believe he picked Milwaukee to win the series. And then after one game, he changed his mind.
Just, they're done.
Yeah.
Like,
and it was a bad, you know, it was a blowout.
Yeah, it was a bad game. But
got destroyed, but they won the next four games and closed the series in five.
And it was like savage trolling from Milwaukee.
Well, as you should, I guess.
And the fans were chanting like Paul Pierce sucks. It's kind of, I mean, as an analyst, if you have that type of like
reach,
like people are that upset about it.
Mm-hmm.
I get
I mean, and Pierce was a long time Celtic,
so
probably people are like he's kind of biased, and
I know, but that was I watched great. That whole thing last night. That I was kind of chuckling to myself. This guy, I mean, it's all right to go out on a limb and say that, but he was firing out hot takes and not, like, doubling down on them,
He was fully committed to the series being over. He's like, I don't think Milwaukee can do anything to get back into it. Paul.
Yeah. Giannis woke up.
Yeah. The whole team woke up. And furthermore, Boston went to sleep. Like, they just completely shut it down.
I can't even pronounce Giannis' last name.
Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Okay, so we were trying to get Taddy to say it yesterday.
It's a difficult handle.
I'm not even trying. And the grappler was trying to talk O through it, and O was, like, butchering it as well. But I was like, I'm not even trying. Like,
everyone knows Giannis, the Greek freak.
Giannis,
you don't have to try.
Antetokounmpo.
Antetokounmpo.
So you practice it.
See, even me, I think I'm getting it
okay,
wrong.
Okay, so 71 for the Detroit Red Wings.
Mm-hmm. Happy to see you.
Happy to see you.
Yeah, that's how Gord Miller taught me that.
Happy to see you.
We did a Detroit game once, and I'm like, I'm going to butcher this guy's name. He's like, happy to see you, Athanasiou. So we, you know, you go through it because there's times where you just chew your tongue off.
Yeah.
Trying to get through somebody's name. I don't even try the Greek freak.
No, just say Giannis and we're all good.
Yeah.
Everyone knows.
We all know.
All right, Ray Ferraro, he's over in Slovakia calling the World Hockey Championships. You know there's some names that are, they're causing him problems, I would think. So we'll see which name sticks out the most. Which one is going to make him panic? Which name in the tournament is going to make him panic?
Exactly.
We'll catch up with Ray next. All right, Scott Mitchell will join us, our Blue Jays reporter, live from the park ahead of the White Sox series down at the Rogers Center this weekend. And Vladdy Guerrero Jr. will hit in the two spot tonight. So we'll touch on Vladdy and what has to happen with him moving forward. And Charlie Montoya was not happy on Wednesday night. He's already having meltdowns.
He's dropping F-bombs and friggin'.
I don't know if he's going to be able to handle this. Like, it's a tank blow-up rebuild. And I get it. You're a fiery guy, but... And they've been awful
the
past week and a half.
But you only have a few of those in your arsenal.
He can take solace in the fact there's 13 other teams under 500 in Major League Baseball. Like, it's a... There's a lot of competition.
The Sox and the Yankees haven't been dominating. Like, nobody's been
Miami's
dominating.
Miami's playing at a 270 rate.
Right.
Well, Derek Jeter's too.
The team that's in town tonight is terrible. Like, this weekend, it's not going to be fun baseball. You know, these are two really bad rebuilding, young, tear-it-down type teams.
But then you've got an opportunity.
You should win some games.
That's what I was saying. You should, like, maybe Vladdy can get off the schneid here and get going.
This would be it. Their staff is brutal, the White Sox. You know, they're just throwing meatballs down the middle of the plate. So this would be a weekend you would circle and think, okay, coming off a day off, you got Chicago in town, you're at home. Let's see what we have here in the big fella hitting in the two spot tonight. So we'll touch on that in about a half an hour. Ray Ferraro coming up here in a moment from the World Hockey Championships in Slovakia. So I guess Vladimir Putin every year plays in an exhibition hockey game. That
does he ever?
It is obviously totally rigged because he scored 8 goals today.
Nobody goes near. Can you imagine going near him?
No.
And actually tripping him? Or if you're a goaltender that allows or stops him on a breakaway? Like, they may never find him.
Well, you got to run him. You have to run
him. Could you
you've got to run him.
It would be unreal if somebody comes through the middle. And
who did you play with that would run him? Maybe Kelly Chase.
Yeah, I think Chaser would.
Chaser would run him.
Tyson Nash would run him.
Craig Berube
would. Jackass.
Like, hit him from behind. Crush him. Like, put him on a stretcher out of the rink.
I think I told you guys this once before. I played in that Bad Boys of Hockey with Jerry Bruckheimer's tournament in Vegas. And you're hungover / drunk in the morning. You're playing at 10 o'clock and... I ended up cross-checking Alan Thicke by accident into the net. And I felt so bad because you're kind of just battling for position and then you...
No, you shouldn't have been standing there.
But I would never do that to Vladimir Putin.
I wouldn't either if you want to continue to live.
You'd know where he was on the ice.
Exactly. Well, I guess he was skating around waving because he was the first star. He scored 8 goals. He's a great player. And he blew a wheel.
There he is here.
He's a great player. He's Trump.
He basically is. He fell.
Look at how many guys are picking him up.
They all know they're all in big trouble.
Exactly.
Let's head over to Slovakia now, where I thought this was going down in Slovakia. It wasn't. It was in Sochi, actually.
Who left that rug there? That guy's gone.
Someone is never going to be seen again. Here's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst. Ray, if you were in a building somehow calling that exhibition game and Putin blew a wheel like that, would you have the stones to laugh out loud?
No, I would pick out the two guys that were nearest and talk about what a terrible job they did.
Exactly.
Like, how could they let that happen? Those two guys are breaking rocks right now.
Deflect the focus.
Yeah.
Oh, didn't see a thing. Hey, look at that.
It would be
great slide. I'd start saying, man, you know what? It's a really smart move.
Yeah. He meant to do that. He was just trying to draw attention. Like, yeah, you got to figure out a way to just, like, quietly back your way out of that.
Yeah. You don't mess around.
We were in Winnipeg one night. They were retiring Bobby Hull's number. I was with Hartford. And so they had the rink. It was all dark. And they had the carpet, but it was on this wooden plank, you know, right out from center ice, right by our bench. And so Bobby's skating around, waving to the crowd. And, like, each stride is super exaggerated. And he's, you know, giving everybody the hey-ho. And He comes around the corner, and we're like, oh, he's not going to see this carpet. There's no chance. And he gets right to the carpet, and we're like, oh, he's going to go down. And he jumps over top of it, and he lands on the other side, and he turns around, and he goes, you thought I didn't see it, eh, boy? And he kept on going.
That is a Hall of Fame move.
We thought he was going down, like, you know, Putin-ish.
Well, it's happened so many times.
I know.
Like, the anthem singer is one of the best, though, in Vancouver.
Yeah, that Mark, whatever his name is. But he owned
Mark Donnelly.
Yeah, Mark Donnelly. He owned it. He came on air with us the next day and said that he did not want the anthem to suffer. He kept singing while he was trying to get up.
Didn't miss a note.
He was fantastic.
But then after he got up, remember, Noodles, he stepped on the carpet again and he went back down again. I mean, this was a heck of an effort here.
It was.
Seeing the octaves.
The boys on the line, too, like with their jerseys over their mouths, that's the best part of the video because they're all like,
oh, for sure.
I don't want to laugh. The anthem. Like, people are going to start freaking out and consider it, you know, disrespectful. But
it's all right to laugh at Mark Donnelly. You don't laugh at Vladimir Putin.
No.
You may not come back from that.
Right. Like, totally. I'm not saying I would.
Those guys on the ice that are skating around, like, you can actually see in the replay, a couple of them turn away because they're like, I don't want to get caught on camera laughing here.
No way. I'm a little bit nervous, and we're in Toronto.
It's the guy that left the carpet out there that's gone.
Yeah.
That guy is gone.
For sure.
Big, big trouble.
Exactly.
Is there one name in that tournament that is making you lose sleep? Like, is there one name, specifically a pronunciation, that you're concerned about at the Worlds?
Well, we had, there was one today, and fortunately I didn't have to say it, and it's a Finnish guy, and I can't remember it right now. No, the name's about 11 letters long. Gord gets it, like, you know.
Gord would love that challenge, Ray.
Oh, does he ever. I write it down phonetically, and I hope to heck this guy never touches the puck.
Yeah, I'm the same way. Like, every time you get something.
That's the guy, though, right now. Yeah.
And you hope that he's a healthy scratch, or you hope that, you know, that he pulls a groin early on or something. You're like, I don't have to mention this kid's name once. But you know that night he has two goals and an assist and is in every dust-up or every little scrum, and you got to say his name. It's actually traumatic.
Well, there was a guy that he ended up playing for the Leafs a little bit, Suglobov. He's a Russian guy.
Yep.
And so his first game, he's playing with Kevin Quinn, and we're doing the game for the Oilers, and we're in New Jersey. And so we ask Doc Emmerich at the time, he was doing the Devils games, you know, how do you pronounce it? Of course, he's got the pronunciation right. You think we could get this right, like, but the guy doesn't play very much, so it's perfect. Well, there's about 4 minutes left, and he gets a chance on the tying goal. And it gets turned away. Well, I got to do the highlight. I screw it up the first time. I mess it up the second time as the highlight's rolling. I look over at Kevin Quinn for help. He's turned his back on me because he's laughing. He can't. He's like, you're on your own here, pal. Like, there's not a chance. He was coming to the rescue.
That's a partner in crime. I love that.
That happened to me at the Telus Cup. There was a team for Felix, or a player for Felix Potvin's team in Magog, and his name was Jesus Piaget. I can't even pronounce his last name.
Well, that's just the first two names.
It goes, his name bar went all the way down to his right elbow. Like, it was the longest last name I've ever seen. And I said to Dan Robertson, who was calling with me, I go, I hope he doesn't touch the puck once. And we did it phonetically, and I didn't say his name.
No.
The whole night.
Just his number, and everyone understands.
He's got to have a nickname.
Yeah.
You got to go with the nickname.
It has to be, but he had three names, and they were very long, and it was somewhere in the French dialect.
That's the old JVR. That's
exactly.
JVR is perfect. I love that. Well, Canada losing today, and, you know, we've been talking a little bit about their roster. I wouldn't suggest this is one of the greatest rosters they've ever sent to this tournament. A little bit thin, a little bit raw. Are the expectations, they seem pretty low going into this tournament.
I would say so. And certainly losing Tavares was a major hole. And then you watch the team today without him, and it looks like generating offense is going to be an issue. Now, Pierre-Luc Dubois is coming, and he's a very good player, but, you know, can he be a difference maker for them? I don't really know. I mean, that's that's a pretty big ask. Tyson Jost is coming. He seems to be more of a depth guy. Like they've got five or six of them. So the top end of their lineup, if it's really not Stone or Marchessault, I don't think they generated too many chances today. And so, you know, the U.S. lost the second game to the host Slovaks. It was awesome in there. It was really loud, and everybody was, you know, they were right into it. But the U.S. had 10 or 12 scoring chances. Canada had three or four. Like, they really didn't test very much. And so I would say they're thin up front. The loss of Tavares really hurts them a lot. On the back end, you use the word raw, and they really are. I'm not so sure that there's going to be much of an easy road for Canada here. And, you know, now they're already, you know, they dumped 3 points. They got a, but it wasn't as much of a, you know, a kick in the pants probably as the U.S. losing to Slovakia. I would think as you look and you think, okay, U.S. and Finland and Canada, you know, they could beat each other and then they'll clean up on the rest of the five teams in the pool. And now Slovakia's got 3 points that nobody thought they were going to get.
Ray, that loss, you mentioned the loss of Tavares. I mean, you know, you're around it. Did you, the minute that he didn't seem right, did you just get a sense that the Leafs are like, all right, get on a bird, you're coming home?
You know what, Noodles? It didn't look like anything. It really didn't. And then he was just gone. He kind of ran into a guy near the front of the net and kind of was like, you know, flexing around a little bit. And he tried one more rush, and that was pretty much it. And even when he went off the ice, I don't think anybody really suspected it was going to be, you know, on the plane back home. I think, you know, you thought, okay, he's going to miss the first game because they got a couple of days off, and after the game today, and then he'd be fine. And then, you know, very shortly later, the conversation that clearly took place between the Leafs doctors and Team Canada's doctors, and then he's gone. And so I mean, we have no idea the severity, but it can't be nothing, right? Or else he would have been sticking around here. It's been a tough week for the Leafs, as, you know, they lose Dermott for 6 months, and, you know, Matthews had his surgery just, 10 days ago or whatever. And now, you know, Tavares is banged up. So it's interesting times for sure. It's amazing, you know, just before the tournament starts in a practice, like there was nothing going on. And then all of a sudden he's gone.
With Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, the top 25 UFA list is out courtesy of our buddy Frank Saravelli and TSN.ca. And the top three, I think, there's no surprise here. He's got Panarin 1, he's got Carlson 2, and he's got Bobrovsky 3. It's a subjective list, but we threw this hypothetical out earlier, and I'll throw it at you. Let's say you were starting a team. Let's say Seattle somehow could sign a UFA this year, and they put, and all three of these players came to you, Panarin, Carlson, and Bobrovsky, and said, we'll each take a 7-year, $10 million per year contract. 7 years, $70 million total, but you can only sign one of them to start your team. Who would you take, Panarin, Carlson, or Bobrovsky?
I would always take the defenseman. I mean, that's 25, 6, 7 minutes a night. I would be concerned about his injuries, but I would be concerned about Bobrovsky as well. I would pick the winger always third, I think, even though I love the way Panarin plays. I don't know, until Bobrovsky has a decent run here in the playoffs, it's not like, you know, maybe you wouldn't worry about that as you're just trying to get started. You're like, yeah, we need regular season games, not don't worry about the playoffs. But I would take Carlson first.
Yeah, see, Noodles and I said we'd go with Bobrovsky because of, I just think that goaltending.
Well, Noodles would because of the goalie union.
Right. Yeah, and exactly. I actually had the disclaimer. I said I would start with that, and usually it's almost too much to spend on your goaltending, but I look at so many average teams in the league right now and the margin of error, and a lot of it is if you can get a save or not. So I'm thinking if I can get 60 games out of a guy who can give you some good minutes, get you close to the playoffs, even if your roster is average or below.
And I just went with Panarin because I wanted entertainment and I wanted to sell seats, Ray. And that guy sells seats.
And so isn't that interesting, though, like each one of us look at this in a different way.
Yeah.
And none of them are necessarily wrong. They're just different. you know, like I see all three. You know, obviously, I see Carlson because I picked it, but I see you guys' perspective and go, yeah, that makes sense. And it's interesting for to think of what Seattle's going to have available, because they're not going to get the same deals as Vegas did. Right. They're not coming out of there with 11 draft picks and, you know, whatever else they had there to move around. Like, that's not happening. And so they're, you know, I won't say they're in a tough spot, but they're in a probably a more realistic expansion spot than what we saw Vegas do.
Yeah. All right, buddy. Enjoy it over there. I'm sure we'll catch up again at some point next week, but should be a fun tournament.
I'm trying to step out of the lobby here as soon as I finish talking to you knuckleheads. You know what?
Sure, it's a party over there, too. Friday night, well, Slovakia.
And I don't know, you guys saw Drager's video, right? Like,
yes.
These high school kids, they go around in packs. It's graduation weekend, and they just collect money, you know, for their party. So Drake's asked one of the kids, he's like, you know, how much do you collect? And they're like, $200. Well, $200 over here, those kids are going to...
Yeah, they may come home on Sunday morning.
Oh, they're going to be liquid. And, yeah. And there was groups of them. So we were actually on the way to the rink saying, no, it was like the Salvation Army sort of, you know, when you go to at Christmas and you go, no, I put one in the, I donated in the bucket before. And you're like, wait a minute, we just gave some to a group of kids over there. They're everywhere.
Yeah. They're all going to Vegas.
No, they're not. They're going to the rural pubs that are right here.
Whew. They saw you guys coming, rich guys.
Yep, suckers from Canada.
Oh, don't worry. We passed them. You know, I'm a little cheaper. And as you guys know, I don't really carry cash. So I had to say, no, I know euros. Go to right. Gord.
Yeah, Gord would have taken
Gord will hook
care.
It up. Gord's a party animal at heart.
He's put it this way. He got me to and from the rink on the first day, so things are off to a good start.
Enjoy, buddy. We'll do it again soon.
Talk to you later, guys. Have a good one.
There's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst. That might be a good idea for Canadian kids.
Walk around with a...
Yeah, I'd never thought about that. I mean, we've all graduated high school up here. I never thought about just pestering people to give me money to go
we
party.
We just asked our parents?
Yeah, basically. But we tried to steal money like out of the...
They
liquor
were
cabinet.
Quite respectable, you know, respectful, like yeah, going around.
It sounds like a tradition.
Yeah.
Like you go out cool. And you make people give you money.
You dance for your money.
Dance for your money, and then you go and just get blackout down at the
Slovakia
pub.
Is fantastic. Like the first night I was in Slovakia, I went out with Jamal Mayers, and we drank vodka in some basement of a bar, just him and I. And then there was a pizza joint on the way home. It had pepperoni and corn on it.
Love it.
I took a picture of it. It was fantastic.
Outstanding. Scott Mitchell will join us live from the Rogers Center in about 20 minutes, and Kelly Chase will be on the show to tee up Game 1 of the Western Final. That's coming up at 6:25. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, someone texting in here to 1050-50 saying, as someone who regularly heads over to Slovakia, I can tell you that corn on pizza is the gold standard over there.
It's fantastic. All I remember, it was quite a late night with the time change. Everyone else got off the plane, had a couple beers, and went to bed. And Jamal Mayers was like, Jamie, it's our first night in Slovakia. We got to go check it out. We were in Trenčín. That's where Marian Gabrick's from. Went out, found this fantastic little pub, drank some vodka, had some good conversation, and then found a pizza joint on the way home. And all I remember taking a picture of the pizza. It was so good.
How much corn, though, are we talking? Like, are we talking it kind of scattered full thing?
I'll show you a picture of it, and I'll get the grappler to tweet it out on Overdrive account.
Yeah.
But it's a good amount of corn.
I've never thought of eating
fantastic.
Corn on pizza. Why not?
Jamal Mayers, for some reason, could find an argument with anybody, and he got into a disagreement with somebody in line, which I don't know why.
Were they speaking English?
Tell me the other guy. By the end of it.
Speaking their own language.
For language. We all know.
Has your mic been on? There you go, Paulie. Yeah.
Right. We all know that the swear words are national, but it was universal. But it was good.
Okay.
Fantastic.
There you go. All right, Scott Mitchell coming up from the park ahead of the series tonight with the White Sox in town. Vladdy Guerrero Jr. in the lineup. He'll be hitting in the two spots, so we'll get to that. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 4.